So I actually want to ask you a question at the top here. What do you think is the perfect podcasting attire for what we're doing?
I have two answers for this.
Okay, I was going to say, for what we're doing now. So we're not recording a video, and we're all remote.
We're a remote, non-video podcast. I think wear whatever you are most comfortable with. It does not matter to a single person on the call. Like right now, this Marvel shirt that I'm wearing, which obviously, you know, you can't see, is like a GameStop Marvel shirt that I picked up like 3 years ago. My cat ripped a huge hole in it. It's fine. What's that matter anymore? Yeah. I'm in pajama pants. I don't have socks on. My setup is a mess. And that's okay, because no one would have known that if I didn't say anything. For video calls, I think you go full professional, formal up top, no pants.
Full professional, formal. I don't think I could even do that on a video call.
Blazer, but no pants.
Wow. Okay, so I'm actually a little bit the opposite of that, in that I am, under both circumstances, I think, jeans and shoes in both scenarios. I'm weird. I wear shoes in the house. Like, I'll wake up in the morning and put on shoes on like a Saturday morning. And then
that
just
actually makes some sense to me.
Yeah. So there's a reason why I do it. I won't get into it, but I just like to have my shoes on in the house. A lounge day for me is like jeans and shoes and a t-shirt. And if I'm like having like, for me, it's like I want to kind of split the difference between I want to be comfortable, but I also want to feel like I'm being productive and doing something, and that will like kind of keep my energy up and stuff like that. So I'm kind of like across the board: pants, shoes, t-shirt. That's my answer.
I think in my ideal world, that's probably the right version of me. Like, that's probably the most productive version of myself.
Mm-hmm.
But a year into working from home has kind of just like made it whatever.
Yeah.
I do understand that urge of keeping your shoes on to feel more productive, because I will, like, my usual get up for a day is like, you know, whatever, usually like a black shirt, jeans, shoes, and a backwards hat. Like, that's just how it's been for years. That's how I dress every day. And sometimes, like, I'll even throw on my hoodie in my house if I really need to be productive, because I don't know what it is about having, like, you know, my jacket or hoodie on or whatever. It does make me feel like I need to go, like, all the time. I don't know what that, like, thing in my brain is. But sometimes, yeah, like, if I have, like, a long day of work, I'll just, like, completely dress up as if I'm leaving to sit down at my desk and knock out all of my work. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got that out there. And, yeah, great conversation. Welcome to Dropped Frames, where we discuss film adaptations of popular video games and why they work or don't as they drop from 60 frames to 24. I'm Josh. That's Alec. We are Chris-less today. Chris is not joining us. Feels bad. But it's for a good reason. He got his second dose of the shot, so we're giving him some recovery time. And this is technically going to be a bonus episode, even though it's uploading on our regular upload day, but we are going to be doing 2 weeks in a row. So next week will be the regular episode. We're doing Resident Evil, so you can send us an email about Resident Evil still. Send your email to droppedframespod@gmail.com. The three of us will be back then. Today, while we wait for Chris, we are going to be doing something really fun. Do you want to tell them what we're doing?
Yeah, I can handle that. We are taking a look at how we would build the Nintendo Cinematic Universe. There are obviously a couple of, you know, building blocks already laid down for us. We've talked about, you know, in kind of relation to Sonic, we were talking about animated movies. Detective Pikachu came up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be kind of one of the foundations here. We have some rumors about a Mario movie. We've already seen the Sonic Sega thing kind of come up. So I'm really interested to hear your take on this, Josh, because I think building up to a Marvel Cinematic Universe style, like, team-up film, you know, a Super Smash Bros. Film or whatever it's going to be, I think is actually a lot more precarious than some people would assume, because there are a lot of ways to make that go wrong, as we've seen in pretty much every other big franchise that's tried to produce something with this kind of scale.
Yeah, it's funny because I think the other that, like, Marvel obviously super successful with doing this. They basically invented the concept. And I think that if you were to ask me, Marvel was the only one who ever attempted it. And if you were to ask me what is the other like big company that could potentially do this? I think the second most likely candidate is Nintendo, even more so than DC in some ways, because of just like they basically already did it in video game form with Super Smash Brothers, and just like the recognizability of the characters, like they have all of these amazing like iconic characters within, you know, that they can work with. So yeah, I'm really interested to see. Of course, Nintendo has attempted the movie thing before, didn't always work well, but yeah, I'm excited to get into this conversation because I have some thoughts, for sure. So really quick, if we're going off of the blueprint of the MCU, we are looking at, we're going to probably stick to what we would call phase one today. That way, if we like having this conversation, maybe we can have Chris on in the future to start building out phase 2, 3, and so forth. Secondly, what do we know? Some of the movies we have talked about before. Sonic, obviously, is in Super Smash Brothers. Detective Pikachu, a very successful movie. And then, of course, the Mario movie that is supposed to be in production at Illumination, the studio that did Despicable Me, brought you the Minions. So, assuming that we have those building blocks, Alec, I want to ask you, what other movies do we see that could lead up in a phase one of Nintendo films?
So I was thinking about this last night, and I think it comes down for me to what characters do you need to build the core of this world? You know, in the MCU, we kind of got to a lot of the heavy hitters of that world. You know, the people who we became really attached to came in early. Iron Man, Cap, Thor. We built this very specifically to be, you know, these guys are the star of the show when it comes time for that first team up movie.
Right.
The others come in and, you know, they share a spotlight. So for me, it comes down to isolating out who we really need. And I think for, at least for my interest, I think Mario and Sonic are probably the two that do lay a very solid, like easily identifiable foundation.
Yeah.
For this world.
If I could just jump in really quick, I'm going to say, like, if you're looking at kind of the three pillars, the Iron Man, the Captain America, the Thor, if you count this Mario movie, you have it. It's Pikachu, it's Sonic, and it's Mario. I think that is the three. That is the core trio right there. And then you can kind of build out from there. So yeah, if you know, we see this Mario movie come in, and then there you go. That's exactly what you're talking about. That three, that core that we're gonna have throughout this phase. So yeah, completely agree.
I think also when we're looking at kind of the underlying things that helped us build, you know, something that, you know, the building blocks, I guess, is the right way to pronounce. I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
The right way to approach this. Also, like, the Incredible Hulk was meant to be like a very connective experience for the MCU. Like, this was the first time that we were, you know, at the end we have Iron Man showing up and we're approaching this kind of like, this is bigger than, you know, just a couple of heroes, you know, kind of thing. Like, it's starting to move towards that. And I think that's where you sneak in somebody who is maybe not an all-star on the team, you know, someone who's going to be instantly identifiable, but in that B tier of of characters, or even if they are in a similar tier of recognizability, it's someone who you don't have to like put the entire weight of the franchise on. So for me, I'm kind of thinking Kirby would be a good spot to like put somewhere in the mix, the way that the MCU kind of gave us this promise of something with the Hulk, because we don't really get into his stories until really a little bit of Avengers, but then it progresses. You know, he becomes kind of one of the foundations of the rest of the films as we go forward up until, you know, like the Thor Ragnarok era.
Right. And it's actually funny that you mentioned that, because I actually also thought of Kirby as potentially being the Hulk of the group. The reason why I didn't include it in my phase one, and we'll get into like kind of what movies we like running through our lists here, is because of the power differential. And Kirby, of course, being a supreme all-powerful being that he is, I was thinking of him kind of coming in a little later game. He's kind of like a Doctor Strange, or even a Scarlet Witch, I think, of the group, just in how, like, why doesn't Kirby just
eat him? Yeah, he definitely is in that upper tier of the Smash Bros. Cinematic Universe power level, so that is a good point.
Yeah, that was the only reason, but I do think he kind of does fit that, a little bit of the Hulk role in that way, too. I like what you said about that. I think that makes sense, too.
But even if it's not Kirby, I think we can take that spot to put someone in who's going to play a supporting character role, maybe promise a mystery for the future, or tie us into, you know, whoever's going to be that, like, stage one big bad, you know, that's at the end, kind of the way that Loki came in the Avengers and, you know, introduced this planetary threat. Maybe we could go, I mean, the easiest, I guess, one-to-one comparison would be Donkey Kong, because, like, he's strong.
Yeah.
He bashes stuff over the head. He picks stuff up and throws it.
Yeah.
Even though maybe the people he's entangled with could be a little out of balance with the rest of the group, I guess Star Fox could also fit in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Fox McCloud.
I actually do have Star Fox as one of my phase one films. And I have it really as kind of... I do think he's actually kind of a little bit in that Hulk role, as he's kind of a little bit... Not that he's lesser known. Obviously, Star Fox is an iconic character in his own right, but he is kind of a more connective in that way. He's less important than our main core trio, and then, you know, he's kind of rounding out the group. So I have Star Fox as like last on my list, basically as maybe not the most important. And then I also do have one that some characters that would be included in the actual team up movie, but that do not have their own movies in phase one. And that is Inkling Boy and Girl.
Yeah, I could see that.
I like them as the Black Widow and Hawkeye of the group.
Yeah, that works. That makes perfect sense to me. I was thinking like something like that, or the Ice Climbers would be like a good, fun, like Easter eggy kind of like inclusion in a team up film. Because I think there are a lot of characters here that aren't going to translate directly into, like, movie potential.
Yeah, the one thing that I think is a big hurdle is the number of Nintendo characters that speak.
Yeah.
It's, like, less than half.
And I think you can make that work. Like, if I had to guess on, you know, as this thing builds up, probably not phase one, but, like, somewhere down the line, like, The Legend of Zelda is an undeniably huge franchise for Nintendo.
Yeah.
So at some point, that would have to be involved, but you run into that problem of like, well, your main character doesn't speak, and the other characters up until Breath of the Wild didn't really speak either. Like, you got noises from them, you got subtitles, which I'm fine with, but I don't know that you're going to be able to sell, you know, a movie on. And there's a lot of those small little technical problems that are going to take some creative workarounds to make this whole thing work. But I do like the Inklings being like the first dropping in of that, just kind of this flavor of weird that Nintendo specifically holds to inform this universe.
Well, Alec, I'm very glad you brought that up, because actually I have solved that problem.
All right.
And here's my pitch for the Legend of Zelda movie that leads up to the team-up movie. So my thinking of it is this. and I actually can't take full credit for this. My brother actually, like years ago, had this like, oh, it'd be cool if kind of like a Legend of Zelda movie was like this. And then I kind of like took it and I kind of was like, oh, whoa, that would be cool. Then I like thought about it more. A Legend of Zelda movie that is about, originally my idea that it would be, was that it would be about Zelda. It would be Zelda's story through the eyes of Link. But now I think it would be better if it was to start about Saria from Ocarina of Time through the eyes of Link. And think of it like Mad Max Fury Road, where Max in that movie is very much kind of in the background. He's mostly silent a lot of the time, the muscle, and it is about Furiosa, that movie.
Yeah, it's 90% Furiosa.
Yeah, kind of like that, to where you have all these characters around him doing most of the talking, and he's kind of like along for the ride. So make it a movie styled like that. Say it's about Saria and her journey to becoming this like this spirit of the Lost Woods, basically. And your main villain in that movie is Skull Kid. Meanwhile, as a B plot in that movie, we have kind of the political goings on with Ganondorf and Zelda and the King, right? And then that leads then to Ganondorf being our main villain for the team-up movie, for the first one.
I can see that.
That's my pitch.
You could do the whole movie, because I am a big Zelda nerd. So regardless of who your main villain of the movie is, whether it's Skull Kid or whoever, you know, you could do your whole, you know, developed plot, you know, keep this right on Saria and Link and the Lost Woods and what's happening there. But if you're developing kind of the whole kingdom as you go, it could be subtle about like these changes that are happening while the plot of the movie is going on. And then if you just, you know, go MCU style, post-credit scene, start developing, you know, a little bit at a time, that probably would add up to something really fun with having Ganondorf, particularly a character who's known for resurrecting and coming back in so many different forms that you could probably reuse later down the line in some altered, more powerful form. I think he does make a good entry villain as just Ganondorf, King of Thieves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Humanoid version of himself.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, I think him as setting up as hit the big phase one, the Loki of the Avengers, if you will. I think that's cool. He's a big recognizable villain. We're not going straight to the top, right? So we're not doing like the Master Hand or even Bowser, really, right? So yeah, I think that's a good starting place. He's a powerful enemy that it might take the collective power of these characters to take on. So I like that's my pitch, and I'm curious to if you had any other ideas for what villains could be the big bad of the team up.
My thought originally, I like yours better. I like this Ganondorf idea. My thought was kind of, we already have Jim Carrey's Dr. Eggman.
Yeah.
Performance of Robotnik. And then we kind of have this, like, it going back to Detective Pikachu, we have this kind of corrupting power idea already built into these movies, if we're using that as a building block.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would make sense to me if we had multiple just small level villains kind of forming, you know, what's the Injustice League kind of thing to fight back against these guys, which I think could be a fun way, because there are a lot of not necessarily nice characters in the Smash Bros.
Yeah, yeah, universe. Absolutely.
So I think that could be a good way to kind of backdoor a lot of them in, almost Mortal Kombat style, you know, keeping it on theme with the podcast, where we just had like an army of seven, eight people or whatever that were invading Earthrealm.
Right.
I think that could have been fun, but I do like the idea of giving them a central one person is causing all of this. We have to break that barrier before we can go anywhere else. And then maybe you can return to some of these villains who've fallen to the wayside and, you know, bring them back together and make it some kind of evil force that's all interconnected and, controlling the narrative as we go forward. But no, Ganondorf's a good thought. I think that works out really well.
Yeah, I do like your idea as well. And I even thought about where does Wario fit into all of this, right? Like someone who is like a villain, yes, but also kind of just goofy, and he like will play tennis with Mario. So it's like, because he's not like totally a villain. So yeah, kind of what, you know, if you're corrupting those forces, right? I do like that idea of these kind of, like you said, mid-tier villains, I guess.
You could probably play a lot of these kind of half and half characters that are like, yeah, Wario is not fully evil. He just happens to be, you know, running opposed to Mario in certain situations. Like, he's not dedicated to being a bad guy. Mm-hmm. You could probably treat them like the Ant-Man role that, you know, further down the line in the MCU, where it's like, they're fully like ex-cons in, you know, this version. Like, they're not necessarily playing things completely by the book, but they're still good guys when you need them to be.
Yeah.
So I think something like that could probably work in this movie, and I hadn't really, or in this universe, and I hadn't thought about that. That could be really fun to bring in, you know, Wario for like a heist movie somewhere, you know, way down the line, kind of playing with what you can get away with, because this is a huge world. Like you were saying at the beginning, Nintendo has kind of already found a way to weaponize this group effect, this like, oh my God, I can't believe they're all together.
Yeah, everyone thing. Is here.
And yeah, I think that you can really embrace that. That's exactly that might even be the tagline for the entire thing. Everyone is here.
Yeah.
I think that's a great, just a building block for the entire universe moving, you know, outward. So that's a very, very interesting thought. And I think I might have to keep that in mind as if we come back to this and start doing a phase two and forward thing.
Yeah, I think, not to get too ahead of ourselves here, but I think the Wario Waluigi heists mini series on Nintendo TV Plus, that's the one. All right, now there's a very important piece of the puzzle here that I was just thinking about who else is part of phase one, who are the big players here, and then something dawned on me and I was like, this might be the best idea I've ever had. Isabelle from Animal Crossing is the Nick Fury bringing everyone together.
I love that.
Isabelle, she's so organized. She's so great at running the show. And she's bringing everyone together. And down the line, there is a Nintendo TV Plus series where she is basically trying to coach this new mayor into, like, helping the town.
I was going to say, that's a perfect opportunity to have the Wario Waluigi movie just be a heist on Tom Nook.
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, that's incredible. That's amazing.
Wow, we need to get in a room right now with
someone
with Bowser.
The check.
Doug Bowser, excuse me. Yes, listen to this podcast real quick. Tell us what you think.
Honestly, I was thinking about the full-on storytelling logistics of how I would do this, and I think I came up with a pretty decent, you know, rough draft for how this would actually work. Obviously, the details have changed as we've, you know, discussed it and gone back and forth about it. But I think with the Sonic Rings, you already kind of have this base of an opportunity to introduce the crossing of the worlds.
Yeah.
And that just seems like a really big opportunity. Like, if you were to do a Mario movie that focuses solely on, like, Mario completing one task, you know, whoever the bad guy is, like one of the Koopas or whatever. And then, I know, like I said, post-credit scenes from earlier, like Sonic bursting out from whatever threat, you know, that's going to be in Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which we know will be out pretty soon.
Yeah, beginning of 2022.
Yeah, so whatever that like big villain is, we'll put that behind us. If you were to start there and just have Sonic like take off from where did they stay in Green Hills in the movie?
To stay in Green Hills, yes.
So like if something comes there, starts a big fight, maybe Sonic has to go on the run to help Tails do whatever. But maybe he messes up the ring or something, ends out in the Mushroom Kingdom, like you could do direct crossover that way. Like, it's not hard to build out a story that's plausible using that concept. And so once you have that kind of one-in-one Iron Man, Captain America, Mario, and Sonic, you know, crossover thing, I think from there, it just becomes a matter of introducing the story of Ganondorf. You know, you just have to start informing this, like, big bad making his, you know, play for power or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think as you start to build into that, you just have to find a way for news to spread. And the Zelda world is, like, it's full of magic that doesn't make any damn sense, to be honest.
Well, it all comes from the goddesses, there's no rules.
Yeah, there's no rules. It's a soft magic system. It's not like you have to go over here and pray and channel your energy. No, it's just you do the thing. Do you have the talent? Did the gods or goddesses say that you could do this? Okay, cool. Praise Hylia. You did it.
Praise Hylia. That's all you have to do is say praise Hylia, and then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, so maybe Ganondorf accidentally like rips a portal open or something, and you know, something from Hyrule escapes into another person's world, and that's how we even build into this. Whatever the case is, I think you have a very easy like back door into all of these movies from what we already have. Sonic can just straight up go wherever.
I just had an idea. The after credit scene for Sonic 2, him and Tails, they're just hanging out, they're just chilling, whatever. And then a ring portal like opens up in front of them. And they're like, just like, did you do that? And he's like, no, did you do that? They're like, who is operating a ring portal right now? And then Isabelle steps through. She already has one somehow. It's just like showing her power. She's just like, yeah, I had one of these rings. Yeah, do you thought you're the only one? I have one too. That's how great I am, Isabelle. And she steps through and she's like, we need your help. And then just full credits.
Yeah, just like, gentlemen, we need your help. Yeah. And cut, that perfect cut to black. And we go into that team-up movie ready for whatever the hell is about to happen. Even if there's two movies ahead of that, that's fine. You know, those post-credit scenes do not always have to be, like, directly sequential.
Right, yeah.
Just teasing. So, like, you do that, you have, you know, whether you've had the Legend of Zelda film or whether that's coming next, I would honestly say that's probably the right way to go about it. You know, you do this like, hey, something's wrong, and then you give them the film where the thing goes wrong, and you're like, oh, yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, and then
the next movie is team-up film, let's go solve it, punch a bad guy in the face.
Wow, I really want to watch all of this.
Yeah, I think we're killing this so far.
Yeah. I would watch all of these movies. Wow.
Someone write this down.
Well, hey, it's going to be published on the internet, so... Okay, so I have
emails to send.
Yeah. It's Mr. Nintendo.
At Dear Dr. Nintendo.
Nintendo. That's who Dr. Mario was based off of.
It's his cousin.
Dr. Mario's cousin is Dr. Nintendo. Okay, so we have Link movie, Sonic 2, Isabelle is Nick Fury. Inkling boy and girl will probably show up as main characters in the actual team of film, but don't have their own movie as of yet so far. Is there anyone else you put into phase one?
Oh, absolutely. The first Mario movie is Mario versus Donkey Kong. That makes perfect sense.
That's it.
That just, yeah, you do like a small conversion. Donkey Kong's a good guy. Isabelle comes up, grabs Sonic, ends up grabbing Mario. Mario's like, hey, we need muscle.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, at the start of the team-up film, you get that, like, the three of them standing in front of, you know, Donkey Kong's wherever he's at, wherever we've put him at the end of the Mario movie. And being like, hey, remember how you just ruined a bunch of stuff over here? Well, here's your opportunity to fix it. Come help us.
Yeah. And I like that it's kind of relatively low stakes as far as, like, what happened to the villain there. Because wasn't there two Iron Man movies in Phase 1?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, yeah, so he got, like, two full movies before the first Avengers movie. So, yeah, for there being, you know, just a quick Mario movie, and then establish Mario, whoever he's bringing along to the team-up. You know, do we get Luigi yet? I don't even think it really matters early on at this point.
I think in the second Mario film, you just straight up, like, have Mario get kidnapped, and now it's Luigi's turn to go get him.
It's like Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah, full on, just Luigi's big adventure, and...
Yeah, I would love to see Luigi's movie be, like, completely unrelated.
He's just not even in the same field.
It's a romantic comedy.
I do need a Nintendo rom-com. That would be amazing.
And Luigi's the perfect candidate.
That's lovely. I adore that idea.
Oh man, Luigi's just, he's like on Tinder, he's like going on so many bad dates, and he's just like, oh man, I just can't catch a break, Mamma Mia. And then
eventually face down in a bowl of pasta in his apartment.
His apartment's a mess, and then he meets Daisy or whoever.
He's out of shape and down on his luck until he meets Daisy.
Yeah.
Life starts to turn around.
Yeah, he reconnects, and then at the end he reconnects with his brother, his long-lost brother he hasn't seen in a while. And his brother's like, hey, yeah, cool. By the way, we're caught up in, like, some pretty, like, cosmic world-endy stuff. Like, do you want in on this?
Luigi turns his life around, and Mario shows up at his doorstep like, I wasted all of those coins. Oh, I've tried to chase Peach this whole time. It was such a bad idea.
Oh my
Please
God.
Help.
And that's why he needs Luigi's help.
And Luigi's just a love guru for the next, like, 10 films.
I love it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Wow, we're really striking gold here. That was everybody I had in my phase one, plus a couple of spin-off ideas. But that's who I had for phase one of, I guess, what we would call the Super Smash. Would you think it would be called Super Smash Bros., like the team-up movies?
Yeah, I think for sure it's going to be at least playing off of the Super Smash Bros. Name.
Yeah, you have to go with that recognition. It's such a popular franchise. Like, everyone's going to know what that is.
Also, I think there's a whole cast of characters inside of the Pokemon world that could transfer really well into a team-up movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't think you need to pull, you know, every notable character in right away. You know, I think we've done fun job of just, like, picking out, you know, the faces and then letting the other stuff kind of fill itself in.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned, like, obviously Samus has to have a part going forward. Like, Samus is huge, like, one of the pillars of Nintendo. Like, she would obviously be involved down the line. The only reason I didn't include her in this is because, like, you don't want it to be, like, so stacked that, like, there's nowhere to go.
And if you keep out, like, Fox McCloud or whatever, you could have that opportunity to go the way the MCU went around Guardians of the Galaxy and go cosmic and have Fox and Samus mm-hmm. be that next wave of, this is how we're going to introduce Andross or whoever the next big villain is.
Yeah.
I think that would work out perfectly fine. Also, now I want a Fox McCloud, Samus, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier show. Like, that
oh,
seems...
Oh my god, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
I think there's
Space Rangers.
Yeah. I think that would be awesome. I think, like, I don't know. I think an entire phase is probably based in space combat or, like, in space. If you think, like, Samus, Fox, and, you know, maybe Falco or whoever he's with, and Kirby plus Mario Galaxy, like, as a phase two or phase three, just, like, all back to back like that. Yeah, then Andross could very well be, like, the phase two team up villain. Something like that. We're getting very ahead of ourselves, but that's going to be probably a second bonus podcast down the line. But yeah, my mind is just, like, churning right now.
Me too. I just had to Google exactly how old Captain Falcon is, because I have some ideas.
Oh yeah, I think there's, like, some sort of, like, Fast and the Furious type of deal.
Absolutely, absolutely there is.
Oh man,
Mario Kart Captain Falcon. It's all I'm saying.
Oh, like, no, that would be cool. Link is on his freaking motorcycle from Mario Kart 8 and from the new DLC for Breath of the Wild.
Uh-huh.
They need to do something. These ideas are too good, dare I say.
I think we're absolutely crushing this. We may be getting ahead of ourselves. Maybe we didn't have the most well-thought-out plan of attack, but I think we've actually come up on gold. And, you know, at least if they do any of this stuff, we will have proof that we thought of it roughly first. You know, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, the idea obviously is, like, something that a lot of people, I think, throw out there. But I think this is maybe the most fleshed out ideas that I've heard. There are a couple things and that get in the way that I have in my notes. The first is it animated or is it live action? because some of these characters are coming from live actions with animated, like Sonic is animated, but he's in a live action world. Mario is going to be fully animated. Detective Pikachu, same thing with Sonic. So where is the, you know, how does everything look together, right? That's, I think, one of the hurdles that you, but I don't think an impossible hurdle. I
think it just becomes expensive is really the answer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I do think the half live action, half animated Sonic Detective Pikachu look is probably the main kind of vibe for the entire thing. But also, like, we have people making Into the Spider-Verse level animation now that is eventually going to bleed into the other Sony related Spider-Verse stuff. And I think you can do that here as well. I think some of the movies could be fully animated, but with the asterisk that, like, they could pop into a live action world and either change form or become a 3D version of their 2D animated selves or whatever the movies are going to look like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something that can be figured out. Nintendo just had its most profitable year of all time. So, you know, hopefully that helps in that regard. The second big hurdle, probably the biggest hurdle, Nintendo and Illumination are doing Mario. Warner Brothers and Pokemon are doing Detective Pikachu, and Sega and Paramount are doing Sonic. Who knows how many other splittings of this of these franchises could happen with other studios. It's, you know, Sony was playing nice with Spider-Man, but how long did that take? And, you know, can you do it with even more than just two different studios owning these different rights? And I think that is the biggest hurdle, is who's owns what, and are they going to be able to actually pull it all off?
I think that's what makes this, you know, a pipe dream for now.
Yeah.
But also, we saw that Marvel only ended up in this position because they started with the kind of B-team characters, you know, Iron Man and Captain America, as popular as they are now, in 2005, 2006, whenever that was, that they started developing Iron Man, the movie. That wasn't really, like, there was no guarantee that that was going to be the thing that popped off.
Yeah.
They were just kind of throwing it at the wall because they had these other properties and Spider-Man and the X-Men that had just gone absolutely wild for the box office compared to what they were earning before.
Mm-hmm.
And then as they built, Marvel kind of bought back the rights for a lot of these people.
Yeah.
And started to reconsolidate. So I think, unfortunately, that's probably what would have to happen, is Nintendo would just have to start dishing out to get these deals back, which makes it highly unlikely for sure. But at least there is a path for doing this established already. It, you know, as rough as it may have been, you know, for the early stages of the MCU to try to creatively build around that, Kevin Feige and team have led the blueprint on that. There is a strategy to how to do this. Our version of the world does take some of the A-listers and put them in right away. So maybe if you were to do this practically, you would have to go around and find what characters you do have the rights to and who you could use to build out this roster, at least at the beginning.
Yeah, and of everyone we mentioned, really the only ones that would be a problem up front would be Detective Pikachu and Sonic. Really, the biggest reason I think we brought those up is because they've already come out. And they are obviously huge, you know, huge names in video games and in Nintendo, in Super Smash Brothers. You know, obviously Pokemon being one of the biggest franchises of all time, Sonic being huge, being a box office success, and also represented in Super Smash Brothers. Having the three of them there would be great, but without Pikachu right away and without Sonic right away, it still works. You could still do the Ganondorf idea, and Nintendo owns everything else that we mentioned. There are other directions they could go with it.
Yeah, and we can only build, you know, from an outsider's perspective. We don't know the terms of these deals and who owns what, and if they own it in perpetuity or if it reverts back to Nintendo after a long time. Like, it just, there's so many specifics that would stop our version from happening, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't do this anyway, that it's not a good idea to pursue this. And honestly, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't call us to try it a different way with the characters that they do own, because we killed this.
Most importantly,
not here otherwise.
Call us. droppedframespod@gmail.com. I have it set up on my phone. I will get it. I will respond immediately.
Do we need a Pikmin movie? I don't know, but I will write it.
Pikmin fits perfectly into the Phase 2 outer space the whole arc.
I'm just saying, maybe Fox McCloud runs into something bad, gets shot down, boom, bang, lands on the Pikmin planet, and now he has an army of Pikmin to help him, and he helps them achieve their goal, and then they come with him, and we have the Pikmin on our team for whatever we're doing next. It's all I'm saying. Maybe that's a thing that happens.
What if Olimar and the Pikmin are the Phase 2 team-up villain? Because
that would be incredible.
That's like your robot minions that every Avengers movie needs. It's just like this huge army of things that you can kill without feeling bad about until you get to the big bad guy.
Just a bunch of just conglomerated Pikmin forming like fleshy robot construct things. That's horrifying, but I like it a lot.
Yeah. Wow, I really think a lot of what was said today in this podcast is usable. It's great. Again, Nintendo, if you're listening, and I know you are, droppedframespod@gmail.com. We're available. We're ready.
We'll write the first three movies on spec. You don't even have to pay us.
Honestly, yeah. Imagine how much we would make for that fourth movie.
Exactly. Unless they bombed. And then imagine how bad our careers would be. But anyway, I like to put positivity into the air.
And I mean, if you're not paying the writers, that's a lot of the budget right there. Like, much easier to get a success. And these Nintendo movies, are you kidding me? It's the name recognition alone. You're gonna make your money back.
Yeah, honestly, if people could stomach the writing in Mortal Kombat, which I do still think is a very fun film,
yeah.
And no diss to the writers, they nailed the vibe they were going for, but like it's not great. Let's be honest. Let's put it in the air.
They weren't writing like your fall Oscar release. They were writing the fun straight to HBO Max Mortal Kombat movie, and it was exactly what it should have been.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not writing, fucking Parasite or The Lighthouse or whatever. I'm writing a Pikmin movie, and that is perfectly suited to my talents.
I will say this. A, we could do a Sonic level script, probably, I think.
I think we could do that. Yeah, for sure.
A, and B, I won't do it if James Marsden isn't in it.
Oh, that's true.
I won't do it if James
Marsden figure into our team-up movie.
And that is what I'm most excited to figure out. I want to write for James Marsden so bad.
Yeah, yeah, there's new goals in my life that I didn't know I had.
I want to write the Nintendo team-up movie starring a bunch of animated Nintendo characters and the one human character, James Marsden.
We also need to hire Terrence Howard so we can replace him with Don Cheadle later. It's the only way to stay authentic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has to follow that exact... blueprint.
Poor Terrence Howard. He lost out on... Well, I don't know why he lost out on it. So maybe he did something wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
But even then, that's brutal. Just absolutely brutal.
Oh, man. Wow. All right. Any last thoughts on Phase 1 of the NCU, the Nintendo Cinematic Universe?
The only thing that I have is that I'm glad we went on this journey of self-discovery together. I want to be writing for James Marsden in the next 5 years. And honestly, I'll put it in my Twitter bio. I'll speak it into existence somehow. Got to make this happen now.
Let's do it. This has been
super fun. I love this idea. We definitely got to revisit this.
I was incredibly excited going into today's episode for these ideas. I was like furiously writing notes the last couple of days about like, oh, maybe I think I have a lot of like fun ideas for this. And then just talking about it with you, hashing it out, fleshing out these ideas, these characters. Man, I am so excited for this non-existent franchise. and would love to do a bonus Phase 2 episode, bring Chris in here, get the third mind in, the Triforce of the minds, if you will, to hash out Phase 2. Wow, this couldn't have gone better. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. again, send us an email next week. We are going to be covering the Resident Evil movie from 2002. I'm excited to talk about that one. droppedframespod@gmail.com with all of your thoughts about Resident Evil. Do you have thoughts about what the next phase of the Nintendo Cinematic Universe should look like? Let us know. Make sure you rate us and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And this was a lot of fun.
Real quick. I think maybe if we keep this thing pushing, if we keep going, maybe as like a celebratory, you know, like episode 50 or 100, we will reveal the secret scripts that we're working on for the Nintendo Cinematic Universe to a live read on air.
Wow. And oh my God. That, yeah, the, and if you thought a lot of this was weirdly specific, that's because, just kidding. But again, Nintendo, you've heard the email a number of times now. Hit us up. All right. Thank you all again. We'll see you next week for Resident Evil. Alec, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely.
Goodbye. Bye.